Let's take our Bibles to Joshua chapter number 1. The Bible said, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." Big battle going on over that land, ain't there? You know who it belongs to? It belongs to the ones that God said it belongs to. Amen. "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it from the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Brother Brian, step up here and lead us in prayer this morning, brother. Pray for Pastor. Pray for the service, would you please?
Our gracious and heavenly Father, as we share through your word today, Lord, you're very much alive and speaking to us right now, Lord. We want to be sensitive and tender to your wooing and moving. And Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, that even though there's a lot going on in the Middle East, that the nation of Israel is the apple of your eye, Lord. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that we'll stand, Lord, with Israel. But God, more importantly, we know you're coming back, God. And when these things take place, Lord, we need to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. Lord, back whenever Paul preached, he always seemed like he was looking up, like you could come back at that very moment. And I don't understand why we don't look up like that today. But God, as he read the scripture today, it caused me to look up in my mind's eye, knowing you're coming, Lord, and people ain't ready. God, and I pray, Lord, you'd speak to the people today. And if there's people that ain't ready to go with to be with the Lord, I pray, Lord, that they get that settled before it's too late. Lord, I'm glad that you sent away, oh, in his ways, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, you touch our pastor today. Preach through him. Help us to have receptive hearts. And for us who are saved, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we do what you bid us to do, to lift high the bloodstained banner and tell everybody we can before it's too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, my brother. Yesterday evening, I had the privilege. We celebrated Father's Day yesterday at my house because Charity was going home with the kids to celebrate Father's Day today with Bob. And I was sitting there, and my son was there. My son-in-law was there, and my grandson-in-law was there. And I was just thinking about the dads that were on the back porch. And there was a thought that came to my mind. And the thought is the title of a restaurant here in Kingsport. And the thought was, two dads. Two dads. And I thought, Lord, I looked at my son and I said, I just had a thought. I don't know. I told you, God gives me messages sometimes in the most unusual way. And it wasn't 30 seconds later until God keyed in on the two dads that he wanted me to talk to you about this morning. He wants me to talk to you about Joshua, and he wants me to talk to you about Achan, all in the book of Joshua. And I want to share with you what God has shared with me. I would call the message today the tale of two dads. That the ending is very different. Amen. And I believe that if you understand the Bible and believe the Bible, the ending for the saved and the ending for the lost is very different. It's very different. Amen. There ought to be alarm bells going off in your heart if you don't know where you're going. Because, honey, time is running out. Amen. I believe that with all of my heart. I want to examine, first of all, Joshua. And I'll say this. This is kind of funny. I got up on Friday night to try to say a few words about the Bible school and try to challenge the parents. And I said, I'm just going to be a few moments. And Sawyer looked over at Maggie and said, that's my papaw. Said, he ain't going to be a few moments. Everybody needs a grandson like that. Amen. And anyway, I thought you little devil, you. Amen. Acting like your papaw. Amen. So this morning I want to share with you about Joshua. I've got several things I want to say about Joshua. I want to look, first of all, in the tale of two dads at Joshua's confidence. I want you to go back with me, if you will, to Numbers chapter number 13. We were there this week in the Word of God. And the Bible said in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with them said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. There's two attitudes in the world today. That's the attitude of confidence in God, that whatever God said, we're able to do it. Amen. My grandpa was an old country preacher, but he said if God calls a man to do something, he'll qualify him to do it. You see, when my grandfather was called in the corn crib, he couldn't read. My grandmother had been reading the Bible to him. And he said, God, you're going to have to help me to read if you want me to do this. Well, guess what God did? God helped him to read. He said, I don't believe that. That's our problem. Say amen. Somebody said, I'm trying to figure the Lord out. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you ever figure him out, he'd be a mighty little God. He's a lot bigger than that. These little finite minds we got ain't never going to figure him out. Amen. But Joshua had confidence in him. Joshua believed the Lord. The Bible said, you say, well, that was Caleb. Look at verse 6 in chapter 14 of Numbers. The Bible said, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, they rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it, it is exceeding and great land. Verse 8, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. There's 12 spies that went into the land. 10 of them. Let me just say this to you. Beloved, you better get this in your heart. The majority ain't always right. I said the majority ain't always right. It was 2 and 10. 10 said, we can't do it. There's giants. Amen. 2 said, oh, our God's bigger than giants. All we got to do is march, just like said God. And God said to march. Amen. And it'll take place. So I'm looking at Joshua's confidence. Psalm chapter 20 and verse number 7. I'm going to try to quote this right. It says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. I want to say something to you, beloved. I just saw bits and pieces yesterday of the military parade in America. I'm not against 250 years of recognizing our military, but you hear me well. America better not put our trust in our tanks and in our planes and in our helicopters. We better put our trust in the Lord. Amen. I do believe that we ought to have a strong military. I do believe in the philosophy of peace through strength. But I'm just telling you, there's a danger, beloved, to get your eyes on the tanks and get them off of the Savior. Get your eyes on the weaponry and get them off of the warrior that sits at the right hand of the Father. Amen. Make an intercession for us. We need to look to him. And Joshua would do exactly that. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, quickly, to Isaiah chapter number 31. Here's another way that this same picture is painted. It says, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, to stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Yet He also is wise and will bring evil and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall and he that hopeth shall fall down, and they shall all fail together. I'm just telling you, beloved, listen, as God's people, let's not get snookered into this thing, beloved, listen, to thinking we got a bigger button or we got more nukes, amen. What we better remember is we got a God in heaven, amen. And brother and sister, we better stay on the side of Israel, amen. We better stay on the right side. That promise that God made to Abraham is still true today. I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse them that curse thee. And sometimes, beloved, I get real concerned about that, amen. We need to look to the Lord. Joshua was that dad that had confidence in God. But, you know, I got to thinking, Brother Brian, when God got to working in my heart with this message, I got to thinking about Joshua, and I thought, is Joshua in Hebrews? I couldn't remember. Hebrews 11, that confidence, that faith, if you will, in God. And I got to looking, and his name's not mentioned, but I tell you what is mentioned: by faith, the walls of Jericho, glory to God, fell down, amen. Somebody believed God, and God wrought a great victory, amen, in their hearts and in their lives. And then we see in Joshua chapter 1, not only Joshua's confidence, but we see Joshua's courage. Only be thou strong and very courageous. I heard Brother Adrian Rogers preaching on courage years ago. He said this man walked in with the tail of a lion, and he was holding it up like that. And somebody said to all, everybody was, well, boy, he's something. Look at that. Somebody said, well, why didn't you cut his head off? He said, somebody had already done that. Amen. There wasn't a whole lot of courage in holding the tail when the head had already been cut off. I'm telling you this morning, Joshua had to have courage, and he had to have confidence in God in order to go for these young people right here, beloved. Some of them stepping up and teaching in classes. Amen. You know what that takes? That takes a touch of God. That takes confidence in God. That takes courage, amen, to stand up and say, God, use me for your honor and for your glory. Amen. You know what it's going to take to have prayer in the football team? Some courage. Amen. You know what it's going to take, beloved? Listen, to make a difference at the school, to make a difference, beloved, on the workplace, going to take a little bit of courage. Amen. Little boy had a dog. Somebody said, what kind of dog is that? He said, that's a police dog. He said, man, it don't look like no police dog to me. It's just an old mutt. He said, he's in the Secret Service. That's where a lot of God's people are, in the Secret Service. Amen. People down there don't even know you're a child of God. That's a shame on earth. Amen. Bow your head. Thank God in that restaurant for your food. Stand up. Amen. For what's right in this day and hour. Joshua had courage. Amen. To do what God wanted him to do. And then I know this. Joshua was one that was commanded. If you look in verse number 7, the Bible said that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. You know who the best commanders are? Just ask in the military. You know who the best commanders are? Those that can be commanded. You know what? Listen, you'll never be a leader if you can't be led. Fathers, God has put your home right in your lap. It's your responsibility. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You need somebody to lead you. See, Christ is to be the head of the home. And then the man is to be the head of the house, of the head of the husband. And then the husband is to be the head of the house. I tell you what, in the 1970s, late 60s and 70s, there's a movement come out, Women's Lib. And I'm telling you what, it's hurt them ever since. Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, you'll never improve on God's way. Amen. God said the woman was the weaker vessel. He said the man, that don't mean she's to be tramped on. He didn't take Eve from Adam's feet. He took her from his side. Amen. So he could be, she could be alongside to help him. Amen. And Joshua, beloved, was one that could be commanded. In verse number 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. I'm making a point right here. But listen, not only was he one that could be commanded, but he was one that turned around and could command others. Look at verse 10. The Bible said, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, we got no business trying to lead if we can't be led. Somebody help me this morning. Amen. Brother Dale, you can't lead a choir if God's not leading you. Amen. I can't lead a church if God's not leading me. Dad, you can't lead your home if Christ is not leading you. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, he's not only one that was able to command, but he was one that was able to be commanded of God. Amen. I like that. I think that's an important truth. Amen. In verse number 13, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. If you look over here in Joshua, beloved, in verse number 17, in verse number 18, according as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment. They're talking to Joshua now. You know what they understood? They understood that God had his hand on his man. Amen. And we better listen. Amen. Thank God, beloved. He was a dad that had confidence. A dad that had courage, a dad that could be commanded, and a dad that would command. And then, number four, he was a man of compassion. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, beloved, Rahab, the harlot, was spared, and all of her family. Amen. You say, God don't want to judge you this morning. He wants to have compassion on you. He wants to spare you. He wants to spare our families. Amen. And Joshua, when he went down there to Jericho, beloved, I know that Rahab, by faith, she hid the spies. Amen. And beloved, I love this. You get her in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 1. And that's the only time in the Bible that the harlot is not mentioned after Rahab. Glory to God. When somebody meets God, he leaves off the past. Amen. And makes us a new creature in Christ Jesus. And what a blessing that is, that Joshua was a man of compassion and spared Rahab and her family. And then look with me, if you will, at Joshua chapter 13 and verse number 1. I love this. Amen. Joshua chapter number 13 and verse number 1. We're looking at the tale of two dads. We're looking at this first one. Spending a little bit of time here in Joshua chapter 13 and verse number 1. Now Joshua was old. Glory to God. I used to think 65 was old. Amen. I'm changing my mind by the day. And stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. What kind of dad was he? He was a dad with confidence in the Lord. He was a dad with courage. He was a dad that could be commanded and would command. He was a dad of compassion. But he was a dad, I wrote down this word, who continued. Glory to God. He didn't just start right in Joshua chapter 1. But honey, he just kept on and kept on and kept on and kept on. Glory to God. I ain't got no energizer batteries in me. But I want to keep on and keep on and keep on and keep on till I hear the trumpet or he takes me out of here. Amen. He continued in the work of God. Too many people are giving up. Too many people, beloved, are quitting. I'm telling you, the way gets hard, beloved, sometimes, but don't quit. Be like Joshua. Be like Caleb. Amen. Go on for God. Amen. Be like Brother Fred. I just want to serve the Lord as long as I can. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, he was a man of continuation. And then look at Joshua chapter number 14. I love this, the way God put this together for me. Amen. In Joshua chapter number 14, let's look at something right here. We're going to start reading in verse number 10. This is talking about Caleb. This is talking about Caleb. And I'm going to say something right here in a minute. And now behold, the Lord, Caleb said, hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. He's 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as I was the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain. I'm just going to quit right there. Glory to God. You say, Pastor, what about this first dad? What about Joshua? He had a comrade. Brother Chuck, if I was guessing, there was some times when old Joshua got a little bit discouraged. I know he did. He's on his face over there in Joshua chapter number 7 when Achan messed up. You remember that? He's our second dad we're going to look at. He's on his face. Amen. He's ready to give it up. Amen. What's going on here? Lord, why'd you bring us over here to kill us? Amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Every child of God needs a comrade. Somebody to stand alongside of them. You say, that's a military term. Let me give you a little hint. We're in a battle. Amen. I'm telling you, Brother Jason, them little youngins you hauled in here all week, and Brother Kenny hauled in here all week, I'm telling you, there's a devil that wants them. There's a world that wants them, and we need to go to battle. Amen. We need to fight for them. We need to fight for our kids. We need to fight, amen, for our country, and we need to fight for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I know the battle is the Lord's, but I'm telling you, I'm glad to be a soldier in that battle. Amen. And everybody needs a comrade. I'm going to tell you something right now. You can think whatever you want to about what I'm about to say. But Brother John, I thank God for my comrades. I thank God I can call you Brother John if I need you. I thank God for Brother Brian and call him if I need him. Most of the time I thank God for Brother Chris. He knows better than that. Amen. If I pick on you, you're probably the one I love the most. Amen. I'll come back over and pick in a minute, Brian. Amen. Brother Jason, I thank God for you. For my comment. I'm going to say something. Not one time. I've been here going on 13 years now. And not one time has that man of God back there discouraged me. Not one time has he ever discouraged me. You've been here since October or so. Not one time, Brother Brian, have you ever discouraged me. Not one time, Brother Chris, have you ever discouraged me. Not one time, Brother Jason, have you ever discouraged me. But I thank God for the comrades. Amen. I'm telling you, we need some dads. Amen. You say, well, I just don't know how to do it. Get alongside of somebody that does. Say amen. Get you a comrade to travel this path with you. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. Joshua realized, I'm not in this thing alone. Thank God I got a buddy. Amen. Thank God I got a comrade. Oh, beloved, listen. Then the last thing here, talking about Joshua, the tale of two dads. Somebody call Sawyer and tell him that Pastor did pretty good this morning, would you? Amen. Tell him he didn't preach till 1 o'clock. Amen. The last thing I want to show you, turn to Joshua chapter 24. He was a dad with conviction. I'm going to tell you something, dads. You could use the word grit right there. Rusty, we need some dads with conviction. I want to show you right here what Joshua said. Joshua chapter 24. He's fixing to leave off the scene. The Bible said in verse number 13 of Joshua 24, and I have given you a land for which you did not labor. That right there is the perfect picture of the grace of God. God has given every one of us a salvation that we didn't work for. Jesus went to Calvary and bought it and paid for it. Amen. He said, I've given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not. And you dwell in them of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted, not do you eat. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt and serve you the Lord. Look at this conviction in verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Here's a man with conviction. He said, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't care what my neighbor does, I'm going to serve the Lord. I don't care how liberal the churches get, I'm going to serve the Lord. Amen. Listen to me. We better get this in our heads and hearts right now. I don't care what laws they pass. We're going to serve the Lord. Amen. We're going with God, going with Jesus. And Joshua's down at the end of the way. And he said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He didn't say if the weather's fair. He didn't say if all the stars line up just right. He said, we're going to serve the Lord. God had done put it in his heart. Beloved, I've said for years, the best pastors are servants. The best deacons are servants. The best teachers are servants. The best Christians are servants. Amen. Of the Most High God. And we serve one another. Joshua was a man of conviction in his family. Now turn with me to Joshua chapter number 6. Let's look at the other dad. I'm just going to say a few things quickly and about Achan and make a little comparison between he and Joshua. In Joshua chapter number 6, and I'm going to read verse 18 and 19, and the Bible said, and ye in any wise keep yourselves from... When I read that, Brother John, I think you might have preached on this a while back. Somebody did. It said, keep yourselves in the love of God. And so there's some things we need to keep ourselves in, and there's some things we need to keep ourselves from. The Word of God said, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed, which ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it. Now, let me read another verse. But all the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Now, you're not going to find in Joshua, in the book of Joshua, you're not going to find where Joshua took these things, but you are going to find a man by the name of Achan. And when he said, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, I believe that, according to what I can understand in reading, is that Babylonian garment. Amen. He had a wedge of gold. He had a wedge of silver. And he had a Babylonian garment buried in his tent. He was hiding it. Let me tell you something. Listen. He couldn't dig deep enough to hide it from God. He could hide it from Joshua. He could hide it from his family. But he couldn't hide it from God. Beloved, listen. God knows your heart. He knows my heart. He knows your sin. He knows my sin. And there's nothing that we can hide from our God. He knows all about us. Amen. And so you have this man. And then the children of Israel in chapter number 7, for the sake of time, I'm not going to read it all. But they said, let's just take 3,000 men down to Ai. And I don't think that was artificial intelligence, was it, Brother Chris? Okay, that was a city, amen, called Ai. In other words, what happened, listen to me carefully. What happened after the victory at Jericho, they became overconfident. You can't be overconfident in the Lord, but you can be overconfident in yourselves. So they said, there are not many of them. Let's just send through. Now listen, in that next chapter, chapter number 8. Anyway, when it's all said and done, and I'm telling you what's going to be said and done in a moment, but when it's all said and done, they send 30,000 men down there to conquer Ai. In other words, they were trying to get by with one-tenth of what God wanted. Amen. Now listen to me. Achan buried that in his tent. And I'm going to give you some things, beloved, that takes place in chapter number 7. And I want you to think about this. I want you to think about it hard. I'm going to make a comparison. Joshua was a faithful man. Achan was a foolish man. Now listen, I'm going to speak plain. I'm going to speak real plain right here. If you've got something that belongs to God buried in your tent, that's foolish. Did you hear what I said? God said that silver and that gold and that iron and that brass was consecrated unto the Lord and it belonged unto the Lord. Beloved, don't you keep something that belongs to God. I'll never forget that Sunday years ago when we needed the parking lot fixed. And beloved, it's getting there again, amen, where it needs some help. There's cracks out there that, as fat as I am, I could fall through them, amen. But anyway, I want you to know this. God put it in my heart to come in on Easter Sunday. You remember that? How many remembers that? And I said, I'm not telling you what to do, but I said, what my family and I are going to do, we're going to give God what we've been keeping, and we're going to keep what we've been giving God. And the offering that morning was over $44,000. Amen. And we got a lot done for the glory of God. Two-thirds of the sign was paid for on top of the parking lot repairs. Amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, it's not wise to keep what belongs to God. Are you listening to me? It's not wise to keep what belongs to God. Boy, it gets quiet and you start talking like that, don't it? Amen. That's all right. It's Bible. Say amen. You say, well, Pastor, I don't care what you say. You will one day. If you're saved, you're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. You will one day. You'll see how foolish it was to bury something in your tent that belonged to God. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, your talent belongs to God. Don't you bury it. Amen. Your tithe, amen, belongs to God. And a lot of people don't believe that. Don't matter. And say, well, it ain't New Testament. Yeah, it is. I'll show it to you if you'll see me at the church. Amen. Yeah, it is. That's how we support the missionaries. That's how we do the work of God around here. I don't know how many. We probably spent $6,000 or $7,000 on Bible school. How do you think the work gets done? Amen. There's some people that understand that part of what they make, God blessed them with, don't belong to them. It belongs to God. Amen. My daddy had a testimony. He said, I figured out that God could get more done with 90% than I could with 100%. Y'all get a hold of that after a while. Amen. I didn't mean to say all that, but I done said it, and I ain't taking it back. It's Scripture, and I'll stand on it. Amen. That's the work of God. Hey, we don't need to have a bait sale and a yard sale. Amen. To support the work of God. Not if God's people will mind the Lord and do what they're supposed to do. Amen. So Joshua was a faithful man, and Achan was a foolish man. Number two, Joshua operated by faith. Look at verse 7, chapter 7 and verse 21. The Bible said here, we know that Joshua operated by faith, but I want you to see that Achan operated by sight. The Bible said in verse 21, when I saw among the spoils. Did you know, listen to me, I'm trying to get done here this morning. But if Achan would have just waited one more chapter, well, there wouldn't have been one more chapter. They would have won the first time. But God was going to give them the spoils. Did y'all know that? If he would have just waited on God, God was going to give him what he was trying to steal. Say amen. And let me just go back up and make a statement while we're talking about giving. You can't outgive God. I dare you to try it. You can't outgive him. Amen. I believe the tithe is just a starting place. Amen. The offering comes on top of that. Say amen. I believe that. But Joshua, hey, beloved, he operated by faith. And Achan, he operated by sight. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them. Beloved, it's not wise to covet something that God said you don't need and you can't have. That'd be like coveting another man's wife. She's not your wife. She's somebody else's wife. And that's not wise. That's foolish. Amen. And the Bible said here, or your neighbors, listen to me. I live out in the country. Cows are my neighbors. But you build alongside of me. We've got one of them little carports that you put up. Boy, I thank God I can get my cars out of the sun. Amen. The dashboards last longer. Amen. You get in them, it ain't 190 degrees inside of it. Amen. I think that thing costs $2,000. But you move in alongside of me and build a garage that costs $50,000. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, praise God, brother. Amen. Amen. If it storms, you care if I park in your garage? In other words, jealousy and coveting something that somebody else. Why can't we be happy for others when they succeed? Say amen. Why can't we be happy? And so he coveted them. But look what the Bible said here. The Bible said here, and I coveted them. And then the next three words, and took them. Joshua was God's man. Achan was a greedy man. Y'all hear that? I'm trying to draw you a picture of two dads. the tale of two dads. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be God's man than be a greedy man. Amen. Watch this now. And then in verse number 24 of this same chapter, this all comes out now. God reveals it. And Joshua and all Israel with him, they took Achan, look at verse 24, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen. You know what, Brother Chris, I just caught something right there that I hadn't thought about. All of that stuff that was supposed to be in the house of God was going to burn. The stuff that he stole was going to burn. God said, I don't even want it now. You coveted it. You took it. I don't even want it. Amen. Going to burn. Let me tell you something, beloved. Everything we have except salvation is going to burn one day after a while. Amen. You better not bury it. You better put it where it belongs. Say amen. Watch this now. Joshua, he was here. And Joshua and all Israel, the garment, the wedge of gold, the sons, his daughters, his oxen, his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire. Now listen, I'm not adding to the Bible, but I believe it's healthy sometimes to let your mind, let your mind. Imagine being, Brother Michael, imagine being a child of Achan, maybe a teenager. And you imagine now that you're being lined up, the whole family's being lined up, all of his livestock, the wedge of gold, the silver, the Babylonian garment, they put it in a pile and it's all going to burn. They're going to burn. They're going to die. They're going to be stoned to death. And if that ain't good enough, then they're going to burn them. They're going to set them on fire. I can imagine a teenager saying, Daddy, why'd you do it? That's not Bible. But I can imagine somebody like Sawyer saying, Papaw, why'd you do it? You know God said not to do it. Why'd you do it, Papaw? Why'd you do it? I think back to the flood, just to give you a little example. I'm trying to close here in a minute. But I think back to the flood. And the Bible said that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. I think about people that mocks Noah, mocks his sons as they're building this huge ark or boat, if you please. I think about when them raindrops start pitter-pattering. Pitter-patter, 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 pitter-patter. I think about when the earth opens up. I think about kids saying something like this to their dad. Daddy, I thought you said that old man was crazy. Daddy, it's raining. Daddy, it's happening just like that old man said it was going to happen. I'm going to tell you, dads, in the tale of two dads, you better take a little bit of inventory and find out which dad you're the most like. Amen. The Bible talks about Achan here. Just a couple more things and I'm done. Joshua, he affected others in a positive manner, but Achan affected others in a negative manner. I don't know about you, but I want to affect my family in a positive manner. And then I'll give you this. Look at verse 25 and 26. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled Israel? The Lord shall trouble thee this day, and all Israel stoned them with stones, burned them with fire, and after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. That word Achor means trouble. I close with this. Joshua's life ended in triumph. Achan's life ended in trouble. The word Achor means trouble or disturbance. Now I want to ask you this today. If your life ended today, would your life end in a burning fire? Or would your life end in a bright future? See, when Joshua came to the end of his days, his future was bright. But when Achan came to the end of his days, he ended his days in fire. I'm telling you, beloved, this morning, the tale of two dads, there's a lot at stake. More than we can even imagine. How we live, dads, not only affects our children and our wife, but you work with people. It affects people all. No man lives unto himself, and no man dies unto himself. Our children watch how we act. They hear what we say, and we need to be careful. I want to be like Joshua, don't you? I want to be like Caleb. I want to be that one whose confidence is in the Lord, not in my flesh, not in gold, not in silver. The Babylonian garment representing the things of this world, not in the things of this world. Some trust in chariots, some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. You know what I like about the Bible? I've read the last chapter. Brother Chris, we win. When I get on a pickleball court, I ain't sure who's going to win. I'm going to do my best. I ain't sure who's going to win. But I tell you what, as a child of God, I'm on the winning side. I done read the last chapter in the last book, and we win. And the best thing about that, if you read over there in that chapter 19, chapter 20, 21, 22, we don't even have to fire a shot. All we got to do is ride behind the commander. Glory to God. Hallelujah. A white robe on a white horse. Amen. Hallelujah. The tale of two dads. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I thank you this morning for drawing a contrast, not only in my heart and in my mind, but drawing the contrast, Lord, in the Word of God. Lord, I know this morning that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. God, we thank you this morning. We praise your holy name for what you've already done. It's been a wonderful week. God, I pray for that one, Lord, that does not yet know the Savior. I pray, God, that soon, maybe even in this invitation, they would get enough of self, enough of sin, enough of the system of this world, and run to the Savior, the one who loved them, gave himself for them. Thank you, dear Lord, for what you're doing in our midst. It's humbling, Lord, to watch you work. To know, God, that you're doing what we cannot do. Lord, we love you. God, help us as dads to choose the right path for our families. We might have that bright future. And we might hear you say, well done. Lord, I sure ain't perfect. But I rejoice in the fact that one day I will be. I look for that day, Lord. I long for it. Until then, Lord, just give us grace like you did Joshua, like you did Caleb. Keep on keeping on for the glory of God. Let's stand together. We're going to have a verse of invitation.